Thank you, Peter. Thank you for your welcome and thank you for taking the time to attend today. As Peter mentioned, I need to declare at the outset that I am wearing a couple of hats as I stand here today. While I am the Group General Manager Retail for Country Energy, and very proud to be that, I'm also the Chairman of the Energy Retailers Association of Australia. And on that first slide there, you'll see some statistics and an overview of Country Energy. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Energy Retailers Association of Australia, we are an association representing the retailers who provide over 98% of the energy used in the national electricity market, including all the major retailers providing energy into the New South Wales market. I should also say at this point that Country Energy has had some considerable experience. And if you notice the places that we have retail customers, it will give you a bit of a hint of the number of regulators that we've needed to deal with over the years. But I should also say that we have always been able to develop a constructive dialogue and good understanding with each of those regulators in the essential role that they do play. And going forward, while we are all supporting this move towards a more integrated national regulatory framework, I don't think we should leave the thought that somehow or other the state systems have completely failed us. It really is, in my mind, a logical progression towards greater efficiencies and greater similarities between the operating environments that retailers such as Country Energy need to operate in. I thought at this point too, from the previous two speakers, there's been comments about whether or not there's an infrastructure crisis and what is driving investment. I wanted to put it, and perhaps a very retail-centric point of view, but I suggest that it is what is fundamentally underlying the investment needs in our regulatory environment that we're talking about. And at the risk of simplifying a complex set of issues, I want to postulate that there are three main drivers of investment. And population growth is the most fundamental of these. And having lived on the north coast of New South Wales for some 10 years now, I can describe to you in great detail what it actually looks like. Suffice to say that one of my favourite descriptions of the inevitability of coping with population-driven growth is something like trying to walk down an up escalator. There's this constant force that's driving up. And whatever you do, however hard you try and stop that or walk down, you'll have this inevitable force driving the need for new investment. We also need to recognise that we've got an individual responsibility. Our lifestyle changes are also driving demand. Obvious ones, such as the growth in air conditioning, clearly there and receive a fair bit of publicity, but less obvious trends away from production industries with 24/7 operations, which are progressively being replaced by one or two shift operations and entertainment type loads. All this in an environment of relatively ineffective price signals has driven peak demands to new levels. Demands for higher system reliability also have a lifestyle element. Just ask someone working from home who's just lost an hour's work on their computer through a power failure. All these things are driving the demand for greater system reliability. And of course, there's the headlines. And my apologies to anyone who was directly implicated by these headlines. It was not my intention to draw attention again to perhaps something that was a sore point. But these are real, and the industry does need to respond. I could stand here and argue that the headlines are unfair or unnecessarily inflammatory, but they usually do reflect customer frustrations and as such need to be addressed. The headlines also, of course, have another effect, and that is to drive political and usually regulatory response, which in turn impose in themselves higher standards of reliability, further fueling the requirements for new investments. Now, I put it to you that this is simply how it is. These are the challenges that we face in this emerging new regulatory environment. So, is it possible to attempt to get some agreement on the type of outcomes that we might look forward to assist in responding to the contemporary challenges that we have? And again, at the risk of oversimplifying the issues, I suggest that there are also three outcomes that we are seeking. While we do have to have assets available that can meet the rising demands, we also need a focus on utilisation. It makes absolutely no sense to be building assets that are used much less than 10% of the time. This requires market-driven demand and supply-side responses. And one example of an innovative demand-side response is the Country Energy Home Energy Efficiency Trial. The top graph in this slide shows the positive response we get to carefully managed price signals to domestic customers. It is possible with the right price signals to have domestic customers respond to signals of demand. But to allow this type of innovation to develop fully, we require to move away from the traditional price capping. The approach that we've had in the past won't serve us well in the future. We need to allow market mechanisms to develop and to operate more effectively. The move to achieve fully competitive markets is a strong position that the Energy Retailers Association is taking. And finally, we need to recognise that we must separate the issues of allowing competitive markets to operate and providing proper protection for the vulnerable customers we have in our communities. Historically, the electricity retailers have been, if you like, a retailer of last resort for people who have been unable to pay. There are, in effect, if you simplify it down, three categories of people that have difficulty in paying. The first category I'll set aside for a moment, and that is the won't pays, because probably in a sense, if you pardon the bluntness, they deserve all they get. But then there's the can't pays, and the can't pays are really in two categories. Those that have some short-term issue where they can't raise the funds to meet their needs, and most retailers now, including Country Energy, have programs that support that. Ours is called Country Support. And individual negotiations are arranged with those customers so that they can maintain their dignity and also pay off their account over a reasonable period of time, at least not go backwards. But the third category, and this is the category that I particularly draw your attention to, which will, I think, increasingly become an issue as we try and open up the market and remove price capping, are the customers that need long-term income support. And that particular category we need to realise is it's way down there perhaps in the scheme of things that we're talking about in terms of new investment, but it may of itself be one of the main impediments we have to achieving a fully competitive market. So I'll leave it there in the interest of time, but of course with the other speakers would be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.